Open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now this, as we know, is the story of the conversion of Paul. And this is one of three conversions that you see between Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, and Acts chapter 10. Something of note that you might want to be interested in is when you read Acts chapter 8, you have the Ethiopian eunuch getting saved. And then Acts chapter 9, you have Paul getting saved. And then Acts chapter 10, you have the centurion getting saved. And what you see there is you see the gospel going to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You have Ham there in Acts chapter 8. You have Shem there in Acts chapter 9, and then you have Japheth in Acts chapter 10. And so your Bible shows you here that the gospel is going out throughout the whole world, and really it was Paul who was responsible for taking it into Europe and other parts of the world in his three missionary journeys. But every time I see the story of the conversion of Paul, and every time I read this historic account, I stand amazed at the grace of God. I see the Lord take this man, Saul, save him by grace, and transform him into the great apostle to the Gentiles. And the Lord used Paul greatly. And because of that, I realized that there's hope for people like you and me. There are people in the world today, Christians in the world today, who think that the Lord can't use them for one reason or the other. They think that because of some of the things they did or who they are or because of shortcomings or medical problems that the Lord can't use them. But the truth is, the Lord can use anybody, and certainly Saul of Tarsus was a very unlikely candidate in our eyes of somebody who could be used of the Lord, because he was a man who was hated by Christians who hated Christians and was feared by Christians, and one who did everything he could to destroy the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet God reached down in grace and took this man where he was and used him to change the world. God used him in such a great manner that Paul's ministry is still reaping fruit to this day. I mean, if you think about it, Paul went three missionary journeys. He took the gospel into Europe. And now, 2,000 years later, or roughly 2,000 years later, we're all sitting in this room because somebody by the name of Paul yielded his will to the Lord and said, Lord, use me. And because of that, people in Europe got saved, and eventually they ended up moving into the United States, and here we are today. Do you realize that we are the fruit of what the Apostle Paul did 2,000 years ago? And that's an amazing thing. And think about this, folks. Do you realize that that's going to be added to Paul's account when we get to the judgment seat of Christ? That's the reason I honestly hope that on judgment day, that I hope that Paul is not the one in front of me or the one behind me as we go in there to be judged. Because I would hate to think about that, okay? But, you know, sometimes I think that we all kind of feel inferior or unworthy to be used in the Lord's work. But I'm here to tell you this morning that if Jesus can use Paul, he can use anybody. If you think about who Paul was and the problems that he had, if God could use him, he could use anybody. And some people may be asking the question this morning, can God use me? Well, I want to take a look at the Apostle Paul this morning and his life and show you some of the obstacles that seem to be in the way of God using him. The same obstacles that we sometimes use, or the same excuses that we sometimes use, certainly the Apostle Paul could have used any of those excuses and said, you know what, I just don't think the Lord could use me because of this or because of that or because of this or because of that. Paul had better excuses than we could ever have. But yet God used him in a mighty way. Now, and you say, well, what's that teaching? That's teaching that there are no obstacles that God cannot overcome when it comes to you and when it comes to using you, however he wants to use you. And so God can use your life for his glory, no doubt about it. Now, the first thing I want to show you this morning is, and it's an excuse that some people use that certainly the Apostle Paul could have used, and that is the excuse of our past condition. In other words, who we were, what we used to do, the things that we used to do before we got saved. In Acts chapter 9, look if you would at verse 1. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." Now, according to Paul's own testimony, he was guilty of doing everything in his power to put Christianity to death. Paul said this in Acts 22:4. He said, "And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." You say, who was he putting in prisons? Those people who claimed to be Christians. I mean, if you think about it, the things that Paul did back in those days would be no different than, say, what a Muslim would do today to a Christian in a foreign land. It's no different. Paul was persecuting Christians. He was putting Christians to death. In Acts 26:10, Paul said this. He said, "Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received the authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." In other words, these people were being brought in and they were being judged. And just because Paul stood up and said, "Yep, that's a Christian right there," by Paul's words, these people were being put to death. And Paul knew it. That's the type of person that he was. Now, in Timothy, Paul tells us even more about the way he used to be. Turn, if you would, over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And Paul goes into a little bit more depth with Timothy, telling him the person that he used to be before God saved him. The person he used to be, but yet God still used him after he saved him and used him to reach the world. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, it says in verse 12, Paul says, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief." Paul was a murderer. He was a rebel against the Lord. Amongst the religious crowd, amongst the Pharisees, he was a man to be envied. But on the inside, he was wicked. He was one of the most wicked men that ever walked the face of the earth. In Acts 7:58, we're told that Paul guarded the clothes of those that stoned Stephen. Think about this. While they were stoning Stephen, who was just out there preaching the word of God to these people, Paul was sitting over there and saying, "Now listen, you don't worry about your clothes. You put your clothes here. Pick up that stone and throw it to Stephen. I'll watch your clothes over here." That's the type of person that Paul was. Not only did he want to kill Christians, but he helped people kill Christians. And so Paul was a wicked man, but you know, that proved no obstacle to God. God changed Paul. God saved Paul. And then he used Paul. And it didn't matter what the baggage that he had in the past. It didn't matter to the things he'd done in the past. That obstacle was nothing for God. God took care of all that. And God ended up using Paul in a mighty way. The problem is that a lot of people today, a lot of Christians today, like to use their past as a reason for not serving the Lord. They like to use their past as a reason to say, "Well, the Lord can't use me because of the things I did in the past." May I tell you that there are three records of your past in the world today if you're a Christian. The first is the record that you carry in your own mind. Sometimes we beat ourselves up over the past. We start to think of the things that we did in the past, and the devil says, you know, the Lord can never use a person like you, and we start to believe that nonsense. But the truth of the matter is I doubt anybody here was any worse than Paul was before he got saved. If you are, don't tell me about it. I don't want to know. Amen. But I doubt anybody was that bad, but yet the Lord still used him. So, I mean, certainly we carry the record of our past in our own minds. There are the people that saw us in the past too. They saw the way we were. They were going to remember that. I mean, that's sad, that's unfortunate, but that's the way things are. And also the devil knows what you did in the past, and he's going to use that against you all the time. But may I tell you this morning that your past is no obstacle with God. It doesn't matter what you did in the past, folks. God could take care of all of that. I mean, he made it to where he was still using Paul, and Paul was a murderer. Paul he persecuted Christians. He's the one who sent them to jail, and by his word, they were put to death. Now, when you look through the Bible, you're going to find out that the same way that God used Paul, let's face it, he was a great failure before the Lord used him, before the Lord changed him. You're going to notice in the Bible, you see a lot of people that really God used after their greatest failures. I'll give you an example. Remember when Peter denied the Lord three times? It was right after that Peter ended up preaching at Pentecost and thousands of people got saved. That was after his worst moment. Moses, who was used to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, do you realize that happened after he murdered somebody? Samson sinned against God his entire life, but once he called upon the Lord, he slew more Philistines in the last moments of his life than he did in his entire ministry as a judge. Jacob was a deceiver, yet the Lord transformed him and used him greatly. There are many other people that could be named, but these are sufficient to show that the Lord can take those who have failed in the past and he can use them for his glory today. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. The Lord can still use you. So, you know, if you're one of those people today that say, well, you know, Lord can never use me. You just don't understand what I did in the past. That's no excuse at all. That's no obstacle to God. That may sound holy. That may sound real spiritual, but it's not. The Lord can take care of that thing. Listen, every one of us, before we were saved, we were all lost. We were all enemies of God. And but it was all because of the grace of God that he saved us. And he can use anybody. If he can use the Apostle Paul, he can use anybody. So the excuse of your past is really not a good excuse at all. God can overcome that obstacle. Not only is that no obstacle for God, but also your present circumstances are no obstacle for God. In other words, it doesn't matter what you're doing today, God can change you and use you in the way he wants to use you. In Acts chapter 9, notice in verse 2 it says, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Think about this. Paul was on the road to Damascus to bind up Christians, to put them in jail and to kill them. That's what he was doing when God saved him. That's what he was doing. And yet God saved him right there on the spot. In other words, as Paul was that very day, God was able to save him and then eventually use him. You know, and sometimes we see people and we see them dressed a certain way, or we see people with a certain background, or we see people who we have seen do many wicked things, and we think to ourselves, you know, I doubt the Lord could ever save a person like that. But the Lord can. And sometimes we pick and choose who we think God can save. And I'll just throw this out to you. When we look at normal people like us, just normal everyday people, we say, well, the Lord can save anybody. Yes, but if I started naming people in this world who are known murderers, serial killers, terrorists, then all of a sudden we start to think, well, the Lord can't save somebody like that. You know, I don't know if anybody prayed or not. I mean, when bin Laden was alive, did anybody here pray that he get saved? Do you realize the Lord could have saved him? Amen? Hey, if he could save Paul, he could save him. What did he do that Paul didn't do? The Lord can save anybody. The Lord could use anybody. You know, if I was to mention somebody like Jeffrey Dahmer, we say, well, you know, the Lord couldn't save him. I think he did. I've actually read the statement from Jeffrey Dahmer before he put him to death. I think he got saved. There are people, do you realize there are people upset about that today? Saying something like that, that a man like that could be saved? Yeah, the Lord can save anybody. We were all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. God could save anybody. Listen, if God could save me, he could save you. If he could save Paul, he could save anybody. Amen? And he could use anybody. Listen, it doesn't matter what a person's doing today, God can save them and God can use them. But we look at people and we say, well, the Lord can never use somebody like that. The Lord can use somebody like that. He can use anybody. So a person today, they say, well, you just don't understand the circumstances I'm in right now. People say, you know, when I get to the point where I can live it, then maybe I'll let the Lord use me, or I'll do what the Lord wants me to do. No, listen, the Lord can take you right now and use you if you're a Christian. Now, again, there are examples of this, of people who seemed to be in a bad circumstance at the time, but yet the Lord still used them in the Bible. I'll give an example. Moses was 80 years old when the Lord called him into the ministry. I mean, that's just amazing. 80 years old when the Lord calls Moses into ministry, and he ended up leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. Not only that, but Moses had some other problems as well. Here's what it says in Exodus 4:10. You remember when the Lord spoke to Moses in a burning bush and said, I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Here's what Moses said. He said, Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. Question, do you think God already knew that? I mean, he says, now listen, Moses, I want you to go over and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said, well, me? Lord, you don't understand the problems I have. Me? You want me to go over and talk to him? Lord, I can't speak very well. I've got problems. I'm not very eloquent. Surely there's somebody else that you could use. No, the Lord says, no, I want to use you. Now, yes, he did have to go get Aaron to go over there and go with him. But who was it that led the children of Israel out of Egypt? It was Moses. God still used him. It didn't matter he was 80 years old. It didn't matter because he had a problem of talking. He was still used to lead 2.5 million people out of Egypt. Think about the madman of Gadara. Madman of Gadara, here he was. He was among the tombs, and no man could bind him. And he's possessed by devils. And yet the Lord comes, casts the devils out of this man. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 5 that many received the Lord Jesus Christ because of his witness. God used the man who was possessed and after he cast out the devils and used him. It doesn't matter the situation you're in. God can fix that. God can overcome that. God can still use you. You read over in 2 Kings chapter 7 about four lepers who became basically the savior of Jerusalem. God took those four men who were lepers and saved an entire city. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is your present circumstances are not going to catch the Lord by surprise. He's already aware of your present circumstances. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows where you are, and he can still use your life if you are yielded to him. If you just have a willing heart and say, Lord, use me to do whatever you would have me to do. Your past condition is no obstacle. Your present circumstances are no obstacle. Not only that, but your personal characteristics are no obstacle to God. If you'll remember here, Paul was feared by the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, these people, they were scared to death of Paul. I mean, they had already heard the things that he had done, and now all of a sudden they're going to bring him in, introduce him to the apostles. He's going to bring him in and introduce him to more Christians. And there were people sitting there thinking, this is all a trap. I mean, Paul, I mean, he's a persecutor of Christians, and you're going to bring him here and show him where we're at so he can persecute us? Nobody trusted the man. And so, but God was still able to overcome this hurdle and still able to use God, Paul, in a great way. If you take the time to look at Paul's life, you'll find that he was a man who had many, well, you could say character flaws, not nearly character flaws, but characteristics that would seem to hinder him ever being used of the Lord. Certainly him being feared by the other apostles would be one. Not only that, but if you in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Paul says this. He says, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. You know what that's telling you? That's telling you that describes the apostle Paul. He had a weak body. He was kind of frail. His speech was contemptible. In other words, he didn't say things he wasn't an eloquent speaker like Apollos. He didn't say things with a lot of tact like Apollos did. He spoke the truth, but it was contemptible. In other words, he just said the truth whether people liked it or not. Now, I will tell you this, that there are some preachers out there that they're very good speakers and they say everything exactly right. And there are some people that really appreciate that. But then there's other people that say, listen, I just want the truth and I don't care if it hurts or not. Now, I'm just going to tell you that if you want truth, you're not going to care how that truth is given to you. If you care how it's presented to you, then really it's not the truth that you're seeking. You're just seeking somebody to speak kindly to you. If you really want the truth, you're not going to care how it comes packaged, folks. And that's something I had to learn a long time ago. One of the preachers that taught me a lot in this world, he was very in your face and told you the way it is, and he didn't care if it stepped on your feet or not. Why? Because he was preaching the Word of God. And some people got angry and said, I don't like the way that preacher preaches. I mean, I just don't like his attitude. Well, yeah, but did he tell the truth? Did he preach the gospel like it was supposed to be? Did he preach the Word of God? Yes, he did. That's what I'm interested in. That's what you should be interested in as well. But Paul here, it says here that he was a weak bodily presence and his speech was contemptible. In 2 Corinthians 11:6, it says, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge. In other words, he says, listen, I don't always say things as clear as I think in my mind, but he says, I have this problem. Where he said, I'm rude in speech. And so he had his issues. In Galatians chapter 4, we're told about his eyes. Paul had prayed about this thorn in the flesh, prayed about it three times. You say, what was that thorn in the flesh? I think Galatians chapter 4 tells us that. Turn over to Galatians chapter 4, and I'll show you what that thorn in the flesh probably was. Now, we don't know it for sure, but it probably had something to do with this. In Galatians chapter 4, look at verse 13. Paul says, ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation was in my flesh, and my temptation which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Now, what he's saying in that passage is this. He said, I had a problem in my flesh. I had a problem that I was facing in my body. And it was so bad that if it had been possible, you would have given your eyes to me. Does it make sense to you that Paul probably had a problem with his eyes? And he's saying that if it were possible, you would give me your eyes. Now, is that the thorn in the flesh? Probably is. We don't know that for sure. But certainly we know that Paul had a problem with his eyesight, with his eyes. And so, but yet God still used him. God still used him, even though he had these problems, even though he was rude in speech, even though he was contemptible in speech, even though he had a frail body, even though he had problems with his eyes. And he still, God used him. And you know, there are examples of that in the Bible as well, about people who have issues and character problems and physical problems and these sorts of things that we use the excuse of saying, well, I would do what the Lord want me to do, and I would be like, I'd like to be greatly used of God, but you just don't understand. I've got this problem, this medical problem, and that medical problem. And we try to use those things as excuses. But Paul could have done that. He could have said, I've got eye problems. I can't go out and go do three missionary journeys. I'm rude and contemptible of speech. Surely you can get Apollos to go out there and get on the ship and go to these places. Paul could have used those excuses, but he didn't, and God used him. And God used other people who had problems and issues as well in the Bible. Think about Esther, a young Jewish girl, but yet God used her to save the people of Israel. God used an unknown boy by the name of David, who was just a shepherd, to become one of the greatest kings that Israel had ever had. God used 12 unknown disciples from various walks of life to preach the gospel to the Jews and all over the world. Regardless of who you are or where you came from, what problems you have, what personality quirks you may have, what level of education you may have, or even how much you're accepted by others, That doesn't matter. God can overcome all that. He can overcome it all. That's no obstacle for God. We may use it as an excuse, but God can overcome all of that. So your past condition is no obstacle. Your present circumstances are certainly no obstacle. Your personal problems are no obstacle. And then finally, your private concerns are no obstacle to God either. Turn, if you would, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it actually talks about this problem that Paul had in the flesh that he prayed about three times. And I want to show you here that your private concerns are no obstacle to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look what it says in verse 7. Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Notice there he says, "lest I should be exalted above measure" twice in that verse. He says this, he says, "lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations." Do you realize that Paul, there was a lot revealed to Paul that had not been revealed to other people in the past. There were mysteries revealed to Paul that had never been revealed in the past. The mystery of Christ and the church had been revealed to Paul. Nobody else knew about it before Paul knew about it. The mystery of God manifest in the flesh was given to Paul. That was revealed to Paul. The mystery of the blindness of Israel, that was given. Paul was given these revelations, but Paul said this. He says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of those revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, that the messenger of Satan should buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." You say, then what? Why did God allow him to have this problem? Whatever it is, maybe it was his eyes. Why did God allow him to have this problem? So that it would keep him humble. That would keep him to say, "I need to rely upon the power of God, not my own power. I need to rely upon God to speak to these people through me, not my speech, not my rude speech, not my contemptible speech, but God speaking through me." That's the reason God allowed this thing to happen to him, so that he would not rely upon his own power, but would rely upon God's power. Now look at what he says in verse 8. He says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that he might depart from me. Whatever this problem was. And then he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." In other words, he's saying this problem it's so bad that I can't do what God wants me to do unless I rely upon his power. Because if I had to rely upon my power, I don't have the eyes to do it. I don't have the speech to do it. My speech is contemptible. But God allows this problem, this thorn in the flesh to happen, not only to keep me from being exalted above measure, but to keep me relying upon his power to do it. And he says this in verse 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Here Paul states that his weakness guaranteed him greater strength, and that greater strength was the strength of the Lord. And like Paul, we may look at ourselves as being weak and unable to do much for the cause of Christ. However, the truth of the matter is that God doesn't need us to be strong. He doesn't need us to use our power. He needs us to be weak and totally dependent upon him. And when we get to the point to where we're totally dependent upon him and not upon our own strength, then he can use us in a mighty way, folks. The reason why Christians today are not being used of the Lord in many ways is that Christians, they'll say that they have this problem or that problem, or they'll say, "Well, I would serve the Lord if this were not going on, or that weren't going on, or if I didn't have this in my past." And we come up with all these excuses. But at the end of the day, the Lord just needs us as Christians to be no different than what Paul was. Just be willing to serve the Lord no matter what the situation is, no matter what your past is, no matter what your shortcomings are. Listen, we all have shortcomings. We all have problems that we wish that we didn't have, but those problems are no obstacle for the Lord. Do you realize every problem that you have, God has allowed that problem to come into your life? And it could be to keep you from being exalted above measure. It could be to keep you humble. It could be to keep you relying upon his power. But rather than saying, you know what, I've got this problem and I've got this medical problem or whatever, rather than saying the Lord can use this problem, we say, then I can't be used of the Lord. I'll give you an example. When I was pastor in Oklahoma, I used to go to the nursing home there, and I would always go in, and I usually go in on Saturdays, and I would go in, and either I'd teach at the table, but even if I taught or not, I would still go around room to room. And I just poke my head in the door and say, hi, how you doing? And, you know, I got to where I knew, I mean, it was a small nursing home, and I got to where I knew everybody. But there was this one lady, I forget her name now, but she was the first room. When I first walked in there, she was the first room to the right. And she was a Christian, and she had been bedridden for 7 years. I mean, we're talking unable to get out of the bed at all for 7 years. And before that, she had been in a nursing home for many years. And whenever I walked in that nursing home, that was the most joyful, bubbly Christian I have ever met in my life, hands down, hands down. I mean, I've never met a Christian that had more joy than that woman. I'd walk in there, and she'd see me from her bedroom. She'd see me walking through the door, and she'd stick her hand up. Hey, Pastor, come over. I got something to tell you. And I'd walk over there and get in her room, and she'd say, you wouldn't believe it. I got to witness the two nurses this morning. I think one of them's going to get saved. And I'm like, wow, this woman's just fired up, and she's bedridden. And I mean, she was so happy. I say, well, how are you doing? She goes, oh, the Lord's so good to me. Bedridden for 7 years. I have yet to meet any Christian that was more joyful than that woman. You know the reason she was bedridden? So she could reach those nurses. I don't know how many nurses got saved because of her. I imagine quite a few. But she knew that she was there for a purpose, and she glorified God in it. That's the same thing Paul said. He said, I glory in my infirmities because I know the Lord has used me through those infirmities. He didn't complain about it and say, well, you know, I would serve the Lord, but I've got this problem in the flesh. That woman laying down in the bed didn't say, well, I would serve the Lord if I was able to get out of this bed, but I'm not able to get out of this bed, so I guess the Lord can't use me. No, that wasn't her thinking at all. Her thinking was that she was there because the Lord was using her. And she's right. She was right. Now, I'll tell you something. It took me a long time to learn that lesson, but I finally learned it, and I learned it through the hard way. I remember years ago I was diagnosed with having ulcers, and I still struggle. It's something there's no cure for, and I've got to take medicine to this day to keep that from happening, because when it happens, it takes me down hard, and it takes like a month and a half to recover from it. But years ago, they didn't know what it was, and I was in a lot of pain, and there were a lot of issues. And so finally, I just couldn't take the pain anymore. I actually went more than 40 days. I mean, I was 37 days without eating anything. That's how bad the ulcers were. I could not eat at all. Great diet plan. Just going to tell you, you would not believe the amount of weight you lose if you go 38 days without eating. It's just amazing. You put it back on pretty quick too. But I was very sick, and there was no way I could preach. And I was very blessed. I had men that could preach for me. They took me to the hospital. The people at the hospital, they really didn't know what was going on. They suspected things were really the way they were. And they couldn't help me out there. So what they did is they actually put me in an ambulance, and they drove me 80 miles in an ambulance, which is the most horrible thing in the world because they don't have shocks on ambulances very well. You're going to bounce a lot in that thing. But they drove me 80 miles in an ambulance to a big hospital to where they could monitor me and do certain things. And I was in that hospital for 2 weeks. And while I was there, my deacon preached. Now, there was a man in the church. His name was Rex. And Rex had been coming to our church, I mean, every time the doors opened, he was right there. And Rex was a man who used to work for the power company. And when he was in his 30s, he was up in the bucket. He was working on a power line. And he got electrocuted. And it blew him out of that bucket onto the ground. Not only electrocuted him, but when he hit the ground, it broke his back. And I mean, he was in rehab for a long, long time. And he actually got to the point to where he would walk. I mean, took him very long time to get in, but he would make it to this seat. And he always had a lot of physical problems because of being electrocuted, because when you're electrocuted, it really does a number on your body. You never really recover from a major electrocution. One thing, he gritted his teeth so tight when he got electrocuted, that there were microscopic cracks on all of his teeth. And so the whole time he was in church, I mean, all of a sudden he'd reach up and he'd pull out a piece of tooth. And it was like that always. I mean, he had other issues because of being electrocuted. But when he came to church, I would talk to him, and he'd always talk to me, but I always just had a feeling about that guy. I'm thinking, man, I just don't know if this guy's saved or not because of some of the things he was asking and some of the things he was talking about. And I kept on asking him. I said, Rex, are you saved? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. But he never gave me a clear gospel of how he was saved, and that kind of always made me wonder. Well, anyway, while I was in the hospital, my deacon preached that day. And there was Rex sitting there. And when that deacon got up and started preaching, that day Rex got saved. And I mean, he got saved for real. He was a totally different man after that. I mean, every time I see him, there was a gleam on his face. It's like, I'm going to heaven. Amen! Well, that wasn't Rex before. God saved him. And when that happened, it hit me that even though I had this stomach problem, and even though I was sitting here complaining and saying, you know, I would be serving the Lord in that pulpit, but I'm just not able to preach, and woe is me, and this is horrible, and all this stuff. Rather than doing that, it hit me that, wait a second, God did use me, and he used the problem that I had to get me out of the pulpit and get somebody else preaching that thing, because Rex had gotten so used to hearing my voice that he wasn't even listening to me. He was tuning me out. But when this deacon got up, it was a different voice. And when he preached the exact same message that I preached, Rex got saved. God used me in a way that I couldn't even see it at the time. I was sitting there saying, this is so horrible. But the truth of the matter is, it was a blessing. Now, I'm just going to tell you that I don't have this issue hit me very often because I do try to take care of it very much. But when it does hit, it hurts. I'm just going to tell you, it hurts very bad. But every time that I have this issue now and I'm sitting there in pain, I think of Rex. And a smile comes on my face. And I think to myself, it hurts, but glory to God for it. Because God used that. A man is saved today because God allowed me to have ulcers. Isn't that strange? And I could glory in that. What I'm trying to tell you is this morning is this. Whatever issue you may have, whatever physical issue you may have, the Lord will use that issue for his glory. He'll use it. You say, well, you know, this hurts or that hurts, or I've got this problem or that problem. The Lord is, number one, he's using that to keep you humble so he can use you. He's using that so that you'll have to rely on his power, not your own. And everything that he does, he uses for his glory when it comes to you as his children. That's the reason Paul said, I can rejoice in my infirmities. I can rejoice in this problem that I have that I prayed the Lord remove it for me 3 times. I prayed for that. But you know what? I can rejoice the fact that I have it. Do you realize the fact that he had it, the fact that he had this thorn in the flesh, that made him rely upon the power of God, and that was the power of God that got him over on those 3 missionary journeys, winning people to the Lord, starting churches, and because he had those things and God used those things in his life, that infirmity, whether it be his eyes or whatever it was, because God used that and he relied on God's power, you're sitting in church today because he gave in to the will of God. He yielded himself to God. He allowed God to use his power in Paul's life. And because of that, he was able to be greatly used of God. And I'm just going to tell you, Paul was a sinner just like everybody in his room. There's nothing special about Paul. He was a sinner. He was unrighteous. The Bible says all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That includes Paul. You say, well, then I would like to be like Paul. You can. If you'll just give your will to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am, use me. And quit using excuses because you have none. Every excuse that you could use for not serving the Lord today, Paul could have used tenfold. And he didn't. He didn't, and the Lord used him greatly. Can God use us? You bet. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter the circumstances that you have going on today. It doesn't matter your attitude or your character flaws that you maybe don't get along with others or other people don't, whatever. And it doesn't even matter about the problems that you think you have in your flesh. God can use you either way. Question is, Are you willing to be used?